Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to see you, Jason.
Yeah, it's been a little while. You had a march since the last time we spoke. We spoke right before the Edmonton Million Person March. How did that go?
It was super, absolutely super. Over 2,000 people attended, and we had over 2,000 handouts distributed that way as well, like flyers. I use flyers a lot, which you'll learn about later. And yep, it really impacted the Alberta Teachers Association. They were affected by it.
Oh, good. Tell me about how they were affected. I'm going to bring in Pickering Counselor Lisa Robinson. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, we're awesome.
Yeah, so how did you affect the teachers union or council?
Oh, well, at the event, we distributed a handout. Actually, it was this one here. It was called A Warning to Parents. I do flyers a lot in a lot of my mm-hmm. initiatives. And in this flyer, it educated people about SOGI 123, but then it also gave them guidance on what to do. And it included the email address for the Education Minister of Alberta and email addresses from the ATA, etc. So this handout was actually Alberta Teachers Association received it, and they ended up quoting it in one of their articles the following week, because of course they were attempting to dispel the facts that were presented here. So anyway, you know that when they're coming at you and attempting to dispel the facts you're presenting, you know you're making a difference.
You're over the target if they're even talking about you. So absolutely, they got the memo, they got the notice, took it seriously, and they're now trying to fight against it. So that's a good start. And Lisa, you know all about this, bringing things forward, not necessarily handouts all the time, but you're bringing forward motions. And I guess you got some news about another one you did yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm doing my best to bring motions forward. Of course, I'm going to bring back the very same three motions that got me sanctioned for 60 days pay. Those are my three motions. I actually announced them at the end of our planning and development meeting last night and other business. So my motions that, you know, we can only fly government flags at all of our government buildings, like, you know, being our libraries, our schools, our city halls. And the other motion had to do with, you know, having age appropriate around, you know, the drag time, story time, or our pride events, you know, that children should not be able to attend some events under the age of 18 because they are adult lewd events. And then my final motion had to do with, oh my goodness, why am I just drawing a blank right now? Oh, it had to do with our Chestnut Hill Recreation Center for the Universal Change Room. Because, right, you know, I still believe, and, you know, there's been a lot of evidence coming out right now of that my constituents actually asked me to bring these forward, which is fabulous. But what this motion had to do with is that every little boy, girl, man, or woman should have a choice on whether they want to go to, you know, a biological bathroom, or if they want to go to the universal change room, or what we used to call a family room that would be inclusive of all genders and families. So those are the three motions that got me sanctioned, and I'm bringing them forward again. I'm going to keep on bringing them forward until, you know, I can get, you know, one of my colleagues on council to second them, just so we can bring them to the floor and have a debate. Because if you remember the last time, I couldn't even get them to the floor and I couldn't even have a debate. They just shut me down and started calling me transphobic and homophobic and sanctioning me. So as you can see by the picture right there, yes, I will not give up. And I keep bringing them back again.
Absolutely. And for the people that can't see what we have on the screen here, it's a picture of you holding a cardboard sign with the words, "I faithfully and diligently uphold the responsibilities of being your voice, even in the absence of compensation. Lisa Robson, City Councilor."
Yeah,
so you're working for free.
Well, I am. And see, I'd actually posted that photo on a Facebook post, and my heading was, "What would you do if you lost a quarter of your year's salary?" And so then that was my own response. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to keep fighting for the people regardless of having any kind of compensation or not. So a little bit of kickback from that, but you know what? I can handle it.
Apparently you can, and you have to, because, well, boy, are they ever coming after you hard. Now, you're one of, I think, seven, and there's six counselors that are kind of working against you on this one?
Yeah, there's six counselors and the mayor, and yeah, they're all working against me. I'm not getting any support right now. And so, you know, I keep on putting my articles in the newspaper every single week. I write a column. I'm also doing paid advertisement now. And so they're not too happy with some of the things that I'm doing. But you know what? The truth needs to get out there. People really need to see what's happening at the municipal level. And, you know, everybody wants you to be hush hush, but, you know, there's a lot of bad things. And, you know, we need to build this up from the ground up. And that's what I'm trying my best to do at this time.
Benita, can you see why she's one of my favorite people? She's amazing, isn't she? Lisa, can you explain to Benita what you did with that motion for the flags? Because I think she understands that one completely.
Right. So, Benita, my motion with the flags was actually based on the town of Norwich's decision, which had happened a couple of months or about a month before I decided to bring this forward. And all I wanted to do was make sure that only governmental flags would be flown at any of the buildings, like I said before, any libraries, you know, our city halls and our schools. And so I had told them that, you know, based on the 2015 Supreme Court law decision on the state of neutrality, that us as government officials, we need to remain neutral. And in order to remain neutral, that means we shouldn't be placing special interest flags, you know, up on our pole there for everybody to see, because it does create a hierarchy, right? And what it really does is it puts one group above the other. And that is not being neutral. That is not being inclusive. That has nothing to do with diversity. It has absolutely nothing other than that. And when you look at the particular flag, when I do my motions, I said all special interest flags, but they decided to come after me because it was just before the Pride Month. So they said that I was against having the Pride flag raised, which was not in my motion. It has to do with all special interest flags. But if you honestly want to pull out that one flag, if people were to do their research, Gordon Baker, who actually created that flag, in a talk that he did, I think it was with the New York Times, he had actually said that the flags are nothing but something that proclaim power. And if you look at the history about flags, whenever a township, a city, any place had been taken over by the enemy, what was the first thing that they did? They took down the flag and they put up their own. And so, you know, when you look at that, it's like, you know, you can't remain neutral. Take them all down, show that you're neutral. You can still have support for the LGBTQ plus community. You can still have support for all of these other groups. It doesn't mean that you have to put them up there on the flag. There's so many other things you can do.
Okay, I agree. Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
I just love that. Actually, Lisa, as I was preparing my notes for today, I found that note from Gilbert Baker. That's what flags are for. Flags are about proclaiming power. That is the key to our success and to our justice. From Gilbert Baker, the creator of the Pride flag, it is all about power. If you can have the symbol of your entity painted on a crosswalk or on the municipal flagpole, it is about power for that organization. And it does create a hierarchy of thought that, oh, the ideals of this particular organization, the symbol that this represents, these should be held above the ideals of others. And that's not right. And you just said the magic word, Lisa. You said the word neutrality. And we have a member of our community. I had done a flyer in early June promoting people to go and sign up to be a delegation at the town council meeting, and I gave them guidance how to sign up to be a delegation. And so two people signed up to speak against the Rainbow Crosswalk. One was Stephanie Baker. And later on, Stephanie Baker launched this amazing petition to keep Westlock's public spaces neutral. And it's such a beautiful and well-written petition, and I'll be sharing it in detail at a meeting online meeting on December 27th so people can understand the power of a well-written petition. Well, Stephanie and her team of people went around town door to door, and they got over 10% of the population of Westlock to sign this petition. And what that did is, because the petition is so well worded, is it made it so that our town council had to do first reading on a bylaw on neutrality. So they did that in November. Now, they didn't do second reading and third reading, but they did put the matter to plebiscite. So we're going to be voting February 22nd in Westlock on a bylaw on neutrality. And I'm just so happy about this progress.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I can feel her passion too. So February 22nd in Alberta, we could be setting some precedents here. Now, Pickering, I believe the way your laws are, it should only be government flags, right? You actually already have a law in place for this. It's just being ignored, right?
Yeah, we actually, on our own flag policy, it says that we're not allowed to fly any kind of controversial flags. And that our it also says in our flag policy that we're not allowed to fly any flags that show any kind of ideological beliefs. So, I mean, yeah, we're violating both of our policies. And then we keep on violating it as well, because every time that there is a million person march, or the March for Children that we had, a memo went out from our CAO and staff of Pickering City Hall to all of employees saying that we were going to be flying the flag that day. And so,
wow, you're making it controversial right there.
Yeah, and I mean, right there alone, I mean, it's a slap in the face to all those thousands of people that participated in the marches and in protests. And then here is, you know, our own government sitting there and flying the flag in the very thing in which, like, you know, these protesters are there to protest. So it was a slap in the face. And it just shows that, you know, we are not remaining neutral. Again, it has nothing to do with being homophobic or transphobic or, you know, being against the LGBTQ plus community. It has to do with remaining neutral and showing our neutrality and showing that, you know, everybody should be treated equal. It shouldn't matter about the color of your skin. It shouldn't matter about your religion. It shouldn't matter about who you want to love behind closed doors. I mean, honestly, who cares? You're a good person or you're a bad person is what it comes down to, right? And that's the way people need to be treated. Other than that, you know, treat everyone with love, dignity, fairness, and neutrality. And, you know, we would have a much happier society moving forward where we all get along.
I agree with that. Now, Benita, what do you say to people who say it's just a flag? It's just a flag. What's the big deal? It's just a flag.
I say it's a controversial symbol that disrupts some people. They don't agree with the symbol and what it stands for. It doesn't take much to research the symbol and what it stands for. And if you do a little bit of digging, you find out it can represent some very, very dark, uncomfortable things. That's not a symbol we want painted on the streets or on a municipal flagpole. So I'm in agreement with Lisa on this. And one of the things I feel we need to do, though, is we need to make more of a fuss and get more of each community ignited about this. And there's various ways to do that. There's the flyers you can hand out to educate them about the issue, but also empower them about what they can do about it. Give out the email addresses of all the councillors and the mayor. In my case, the mayor's personal cell phone was publicly listed on the westlock.ca website. So since his cell phone number is publicly listed anyway, I put it on the flyer and I encouraged people to contact the mayor and the other elected reps and say their piece about how they feel about this issue. Well, something interesting has happened. The mayor has resigned and he resigned. And rumor has it, there was too much public pressure. And so he resigned his post. The mayor of Westlock is no more. Now we have an interim mayor. And there's an election. And so we're going to the polls on January 10th. And not only are we electing a new mayor, one of the town councillors who worked very closely with that last mayor has resigned as a councillor and he's running for mayor. And so Westlock has this amazing opportunity right now to replace two people on council and put people on council that have values like what you and I have. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited, not just about this plebiscite in Westlock on February 22nd, but this by-election on January 10th. And these meetings that I'm having once a month, they're called Conservatizing Municipal Councils and School Boards. It's all about teaching people two things. One is how to more effectively communicate your current elected representatives. And you could sign up here if you like. So you want to do what you can to influence current elected representatives, but we also share strategies on how to replace them, because obviously a lot of elected representatives are letting us down. And Lisa, I'm just so thankful someone like you exists, because when we were in front of town council last June, so we had two delegations speak to town council in opposition to the Rainbow Crosswalk, every single member of that 7-member council said, basically, we reject you, and no matter what you say, we're painting this rainbow crosswalk. They rejected the will of the people. And so that's why this petition is so important, because the petition, with more than 10% of the population signing it in the town of Westlock, this is binding. Council had to do first reading on a bylaw neutrality. So petition is one of the tools we use. So there's petition, there's flyers, there's handouts, there's writing to the local newspaper, there's doing podcasts like this. Like, let's spread the word in communities. Let's ignite people. And so when you sign up for these sessions I'm having, it's called Conservatizing Municipal Councils and School Boards, I ask that you fill out the Cognito form in the link that's shared. And on that link, what it does is I ask for your postal code and community so I can connect you to others in your community if you're okay with that. And you can take action in your communities too, just like what I'm doing in Westlock, and see if you can influence counselors in your community to do what Lisa's doing in Pickering. Let's get this done.
I'd follow you to the end of the earth there, Benita. Absolutely. You're doing a great job. Okay, so we're going to share this link where people can sign up and conservatize. I love that word. The school boards and the library boards. That's a great start. Now, there's two positions available, and there's one, Benita. Are you considering maybe stepping up for one of those counselor positions? You'd be a great mayor, by the way.
Be better.
Yeah. I'm considering it. I've been chatting to some people in the network who are like-minded like us, and I'm hearing whispers there's a few people considering running. So we'll know next week. We'll decide who's going to run for mayor, who's going to run for council, and then put our energy and resources in supporting those people. There's a lesson I'd like to share with everyone, and Lisa probably already knows this. It's not enough to vote. Voting is not enough. If you believe in someone and you think they should win office, you need to help them with their campaign, whether it's municipal, provincial, federal, or whatever. You've got to dive in and help with the campaign in whatever way you can.
Okay, cool. So Lisa, how about you give her some pointers on how you became a counselor? Because you did, you won it. First you ran, you lost, and then you ran and won. So why don't you give her some tips?
Yeah, well, just like what Benita was saying, you know, you need the support of the people is what you really, really need. And I mean, you're all about your team. You're as good as your team is. And I mean, I had a very powerful team. I have so many people that believe in me. And I mean, I couldn't have done it without them. I mean, I'm only one person, right? I have my own ideas, you know, but you need to have strong people with you. You need to hear their ideas. Everybody needs to work together. And once you start finding people that you can work together, it's like, there's no stopping you, basically. Like, you know, my song that I always listen to, Jason, before I ever walk. I mean, Benita would love that song, probably. I listen to a certain song every day before I walk into a council meeting or when I feel like I'm walking into a lion's den. And it just makes me unstoppable, let's say. And, you know, it lifts you up and it just helps you just plow through all the negativity, because you know that there's people out there that are depending on you. And a lot of people are silent because they're afraid of the backlash of getting, like, you know, what I get. They're afraid that, you know, they're going to be called names. They're going to be canceled. They're going to be this. They're going to be that. So, but once you start speaking up for people, like, you know, everybody can play a role, even if they don't want to step up because they're afraid. There's always something they can do. They can make the calls in the background where nobody knows their voice or their face. You know, they can help design the flyers. They can go and pick up the flyers and drop them off to the people who's going to be delivering them for you. I mean, there is nothing that anybody cannot do. Somebody can always have a part to play to help you. And you just need to find those right people and let them know, you know, you won't say what their name is or anything else. So if they want to stay in the background and be quiet, so no harm comes to them or their family or, you know, their living, you know, they don't get fired from their job or anything else or speaking up for having an opposing opinion. There is always something somebody can do and nothing is too small.
100%. And I encourage you, Benita, absolutely to run. I don't want you to wait for a bunch of people to talk you into it. There's two positions. Take one of them. Because absolutely, you're the energy and you're the exact type of person that they need for sure. I don't know who else is running, but I'm pretty biased on you. I think that you're wonderful and I think you should run. And I encourage anybody to. I had a friend not too long ago. There was a by-election down where she lives as well. And she said, I'm not sure if I should run. This opportunity came up. A couple people mentioned that maybe I should. I said, do it. If you, because I know her, I've met her, I spent some time with her. She's a really, really good person. She's exactly like the two of you, the type of people we need in there. So I said to her, yeah, absolutely, do it. Yes, there's going to be sacrifices with your family. Yes, you're going to have to spend a lot of time doing things. And it turns out she's already on the school board and the library board. So this was a natural progression for her. And if you're listening, you know who you are. And then she won. So she actually ran for the by-election and she won. So we have another one in Alberta where they're going to kick some butt down by Calgary, down by Lethbridge. So I encourage everybody to do it. So Benita, think about it. Think about it because it is difficult, but it's highly rewarding. And one of the things that I encouraged my friend to consider was, even if you're in there just for one term, that's an incredible amount of experience that you can get. You can meet a lot of people and you can encourage and motivate other people to do it as well. So what do you say? Do you think we can kind of get you to kind of lean a little bit more towards a desire to do it?
Well, as a matter of fact, Jason, I've been working on getting my nomination papers filled out and I've been reading the candidate book and I'm learning more before I fully commit. But when I've approached people and asked them, will you sign my nomination papers? They've been very enthusiastic about doing so and showing their support. And I have yet to build that amazing campaign team that Lisa talks about. But let's just say it's still on my mind. With that being said, if I learn that there is someone even more qualified than me who shares our values that is going to run, then I will certainly put my support behind that person and help them get elected. So we're just still working some stuff out. There's kind of a team approach here, and I want to work with people. So anyway, I thank you for your encouragement, and I am considering it. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. And I know where you can get a few motion ideas for sure, too. Lisa, let's remind everybody about your motion for adult entertainment in public spaces. You were fighting against that and you got into some trouble with that one as well.
I sure did. I did. You should actually show the video when I'm talking about it. I don't know if you have a copy of that video, but
I think Padge will start looking for it. We'll try and get it in the next 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, okay. If not, you know, I can just fire it off to you quickly as well. It's not a problem.
Sure.
But yeah, the motion that had to do with that, it had to do with adult entertainment. You know, the lewd exposure for the children and everything else. So I was just trying to bring forward a motion that, you know, any of the drag queen story time events or any of the pride events or anything that had to do like that it had to be more age appropriate. And I had given the age of 18 as a child, that no one under the age of 18 should be allowed to go into these events because, you know, it's adult entertainment. And as we all know, you have to be 19 years of age if you do want to go out and see an adult entertainment kind of type show. So I was using the age limit of 18, but I was also using that as a negotiation tool because, you know, at the age of 14 and 15, I think our children are a little bit more developed. They're more secure about their own genders, their own feelings of who they are. So I thought, you know, I could use 18 as a negotiation kind of type tool, but nope, I couldn't even get that. I couldn't even get that far. I was just being called transphobic and homophobic because I wanted to protect the children. I mean, if you look at what's happening right now, all the suicides that we're having of the children, all the mental health issues that you know, we're having with children right now. It's all stemming from, like, you know, what's happening in the school. You know, it's very confusing for children at the age of 4, 5, or even younger, even older, you know, being told that, hey, guess what? You know, you can pretend that you're something else. If they say, oh, well, you know, I like the color pink. Oh, well, then you know what? You must be a girl. Have you ever thought about being a girl? How about we call you, you know, instead of Jason, we start calling you Juliet, you know, and it's very, very confusing to the children. So I was just trying to bring some kind of normalcy, let's say, back into the school system. I had actually spoken to the integrity commissioner and she had asked me, like, you know, well, what is your problem? And I said, well, you know what? The books on the school shelves right now, they're showing pictures of, like, little boys doing fellatio on other little boys. And these are in our libraries. And, you know, I brought that to the attention of the Integrity Commission when they were going through, you know, and looking at why I was speaking with a bullhorn in front of the DBSB, reading my motions. And I showed this to her. The Integrity Commissioner was so biased against me. She called me a cis woman, for one. So,
oh, wow.
Derogatory remark right there. But then, you know, completely disregarded my concerns, and I'm a mother, disregarded my concerns of my child having this book in the library, and then started throwing it back at me. Well, what about The Handmaid's Tale? Does that not bother you? Or how about How to Kill a Mockingbird? So just completely disregarded everything that I had to say. So I thought that these motions were very, very appropriate. And, you know, it's not only my views, though. It wasn't me who even thought about doing this. I had concerned constituents come to me and say, Lisa, we have a problem. And that's why I started going to the school board meetings in the first place, to hear the parents and see exactly what was happening, because they were not being treated very nicely, especially here at the Durham District School Board. They were being thrown out of the meetings. The parents and caregivers, they were asking questions. And of course, you know, the school trustees refused to answer the questions. And the more that they refused to answer the questions, the more the people in the gallery started getting upset and yelling out, answer the question. And then, of course, everybody gets kicked out. Well, that happened to be the night that I was there. And as I went outside, you know, there were a couple of Muslims. There was a big Muslim presence that night. They're very, very terribly upset about what's happening in the school system as well. And they actually said to me, hey, Councillor Robinson, do you want to come up and have a couple of words? And that's what started this whole thing that got me sanctioned. But I would do it again. And as you can see, I am doing it again. I'm bringing those motions forward again. Yeah, I am not going to stop. So
absolutely. And I love that. And I did find the video. So I'm going to play it, because this is where I first got introduced to you. Because the True North Transparency, I think, is the one who posted it. And I first saw that. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have one of these. Somebody who's actually kicking butt and really, really fighting for it. I was so impressed, so happy. So let me go ahead and put this video up for everybody to watch. Benita, this might be your first time, but yeah, I think you're going to have the same reaction I did.
What is an adult live performance? Any show, exhibition, or other presentation that is performed in front of a live audience and in whole or in part depicts or simulates nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, specific sexual activities, lewd conduct, or the lewd exposure of prosthetic or imitation genitals or breasts. What is the definition of a child? Any person aged 18 or under. In my drag shows and pride event motion, which I'm still trying to bring forward for debate, I was asking for three things from the Council of the Corporation of the City of Pickering to consider. One would be to prohibit a person from knowingly admitting a child to one of these adult live performances. Two, not to issue permits or authorize a person that will conduct an adult live performance who will knowingly admit a child into one of these events. And three, that any licensed public lodging or public food service establishment holding a beverage license that knowingly, again, admits a child to an adult live performance would be subject to having that license suspended or revoked and being fined. This approach of creating a safe space for children not to be exposed to adult live performances has invoked some of my colleagues, members of the community, and PFLAG to portray my duty of representing my constituents as an act of being transphobic and homophobic, even though I have openly stated that I support the LGBTQ plus community as I do all other communities. Parents are terribly concerned that Drag Time Story Time is geared towards the teaching of gender ideologies to vulnerable children. Parents perceive these story times to be inappropriate and nothing more than an attempt to groom children and take away their childhood innocence. Because of this, parents and communities across Canada and across most other countries are fighting back and protesting these types of events. I'm here today because I would like to challenge the organizers of the Drag Queen Storytime, the Children's Aid Society, and PFLAG to prove to concerned parents all over the country and members of the community that Drag Time Storytime is nothing more than an innocent reading of books to children and that they are inclusive to all. This can be accomplished in two ways. One, by reading traditional children's books that are inclusive to all children and ones that do not promote or glamorize one's sexuality. And two, to stop performing and or dancing in front of the children or with the children at any of these story time events. I think that this would be a great compromise and show of good faith for both parents and drag queens. If the organizers of these events and these drag queens cannot agree to these two simple requests, then this will only validate the parents and our community's concerns that these story times are not what they seem. And moving forward, they then should be considered live adult performances in which we need to then adhere to an age limit of 18 plus. I look forward to hearing from PFLAG and the community, and I hope they will take me up on this challenge. I'm Lisa Robinson, your Pickering City Councilor.
I almost want to move to Pickering just because you're there. That's perfect. I don't see a single thing wrong with that. And I actually want to ask you, why you mentioned Children's Aid Society. Why are they on that list there?
Right. Well, in case you didn't know, which obviously you don't, a lot of people don't know this fact. It's actually the Children's Aid Society that is paying these drag queens to attend these, to do these drag queen story time events. The Children's Aid Society. The very organization that is meant to protect children at all costs are the ones that are paying these adult performers to dress up, make a mockery of women, and dance and be there in front of our children. And I just got to say, you know, Jason and Benita, you know what? Not one person from PFLAG obviously contacted me and said that they would go ahead with this little challenge that I did. Not one. I haven't heard anything. That was it. It was a moot point.
Speaking of reaching out, reaching out to these people in a different mindset. So here in Westlock, the Rainbow Crosswalk was initiated by a group from the local high school. They're known as the Thunder Group, the Thunder Alliance. I think it's a gay-straight alliance group. Anyway, I put out a public message and I said, I can understand that individuals who identify as LGBTQ need to feel supported. I understand that. And I have a PA system and I am game to provide a sound system in the park for you. We could have a dance party in the park. Your group could get together. If you want to feel supported, I will support you. However, I will not support your symbol being painted on the roadway. That's crossing a boundary there. It's one thing to support individuals who identify as LGBTQ. It's another thing to push the LGBTQ agenda on others, which is exactly what the drag shows are doing, the flags on flagpoles, and the rainbow crosswalks. And we have to put a stop to it across the nation.
I'm kind of going to ask you, Lisa, and then Benita, why is this one the special one? Why don't we have flags for breast cancer survivors? Why don't we have flags for mental health awareness? Why don't we have flags for other issues that are important to a lot of people that are not sexually motivated? Why is it there's such a focus on the sexual motivation and the sexualization of our children, Lisa?
Yeah, it's an attack on the children. It's an attack on the family unit right now. And I mean, I feel that that's all that this is, because really sexuality has no place. I mean, honestly, like I said before, who cares who you love? I mean, it's great. I mean, everybody's allowed to love whomever they want. You're allowed to do pretty much whatever you want to do. But you know what? Yeah, enough is enough. We don't need to have it at every single turn. That's what the parents are reaching out. That's what they're complaining about. Not even parents, just people around the world right now are saying enough is enough. This has, if you look at what the flag signifies, if it signifies nothing other than one sexuality on a spectrum, that's it. Just somebody's sexuality. So why are we putting someone's sexuality above everything else? You know, we just had our Santa Claus Day parade 2 weeks ago, which I respectfully declined. And, you know, in there was a P flag was in there, and they decided that they were going to have a float this year. Well, I got numerous emails from parents saying, why are we having P flag at a Santa Claus parade that is directed towards little children who still believe in Santa Claus? Why are they subjecting our children about sexuality? And so then I had made a comment on Facebook, because, you know, I was getting all of these things, and I put out the question. I said, so if we're going to continue doing this, then why don't we have a naughty but nice float. Naughty but nice is like, you know, an adult and an adult clothing kind of type store, right? Mm-hmm. So I was making fun of it. And I said, why don't, because this is actually a constituent that brought this idea to my attention, because they called me up and they said, what about naughty but nice? And like, you know, they could hand out candy cane flavored, you know,
something,
you know, whatever. And so then I'll go to the next stage, is like, you know, all these cannabis stores that are popping up everywhere. Why don't we have a cannabis flag? And like, you know, again, you could have, you know, candy cane flavored edibles, like, you know, the little teddy bears, or, you know, joints, and start handing out, like, you know, these flavored joints to the children that are candy cane flavor. I mean, where is it going to stop? Like, where is it going to stop? Right. So.
Well, let me show you where it is now, okay? I'm about to show you something that's real. This is on the Target website right now. Love is Love Santa Claus with the Pride flag, $80 when purchased online. This is not a joke. This is available right now. Yeah. So Santa Claus, Love is Love, Pride. He's got the sunglasses. He's a really cool dude. This is where we're at. So pick a lane, folks. They're trying to cancel Christmas or Pride Christmas. They're doing both right now.
I think I sent a picture to Paula there. If she pulls that one up, it was a picture of one of my counselors at the Santa Claus parade this weekend as well.
And hey, Paula, yeah. If you want to send that to the email, Jason Studio, I'll get that up for you. Go ahead, Lisa.
And then also, I mean, now, two of our counselors at City Hall, outside of their doors, they have the Pride flag stuck on their doors, stickers stuck on their doors. And it's like, you know, if you look everywhere I go, I always have my Canadian flag everywhere. And you know what? I will be putting up the biggest sticker of the Canadian flag on my door at City Hall. And then people will know that I represent all people, not just a small minority. It's like everybody. I represent everybody. Like I said, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, your religion, your sexual preference. everyone deserves to be treated equally. That is a state of neutrality.
I would just like to share a phrase that I've been using in some of my flyers and some of my messaging when I speak at rallies, et cetera, that seems to be helping people to understand. And it's the phrase, let's bring back healthy boundaries. And so I've used that phrase a lot. I've had it on signage at rallies, let's bring back healthy boundaries. So there was a children drag queen performance in Calgary back in December last year. And I went down to that event and I stood in the street protesting the event with a whole bunch of counter protesters in Calgary. And then there was the rainbow people on the other side protesting us. And so I had these big signs made with big letters and it says, bring back healthy boundaries. And my friend and I held the signs and we took a step forward to the group. And when you think of a phrase like bring back healthy boundaries, like you and I know, hey, that's a good phrase. We can all agree in that. Mm-hmm. The group actually growled and snarled and hissed at us when we held that up. That's what they did. Yeah. I wish I had video of that moment, because that's a phrase that I think would help more people get on board with us, bring back healthy boundaries, so we get more support, even though there's those that attempt to paint us as homophobic and transphobic, because mm-hmm. we're not homophobic. We're not transphobic. We just want to bring back healthy boundaries. That's all.
It seems simple, but we got a comment like this one from Becky, who agrees with you guys. The school should be a place of neutrality as well. There is no room for ideology. Correct, correct. And look, I want to be frank. It wasn't until much later in school years where we got sex ed. We weren't being taught heterosexual sexuality either at that early age. It was not on the table. So I'm confused, and maybe that's part of the process here, to be confused, why they've targeted our children with this. Here's that image that you sent. Let me try and bring it up here for you there, Lisa. Just 2 seconds. But while I bring it up, Lisa, I'll throw it back to you. I don't remember anything in growing up on heterosexual sexuality either, and it's not like we had to expand that subject to include everybody. We didn't even have that subject either.
I do recall being taught some about sexuality. I believe it was in grade 6 for me, and in order for me to take human sexuality, which included the biology of the female, the biology of the male, and the biology of procreation, that's it. That's all they taught. But I could not take that class unless my parents signed a consent form. So there was a time that schools respected the preferences of parents on these touchy subjects, such as gender and sexuality. Nowadays, schools are disregarding the preferences of parents, and that's a problem. And so we really need to work to have parental rights respected again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so bring the parent back to the classroom. So you were fine as long as a parent consents to it. And is that for any age? If the parent is saying, yes, 5 is fine for my kid, let's go ahead and provide it to a 5-year-old too?
Well, what I'm referring to was back in the 80s when I went to grade 6. And so
right,
in
but for
that
today.
Case, there, today... Today, I feel like the school curriculum needs some clarity. I've been learning a lot about what happens in Alberta and about SOGI 123. So technically, SOGI 123 isn't officially in the Alberta Education School curriculum. However, teachers are given a certain amount of professional autonomy. So as long as they teach the basics of what Alberta Education has set out, that's fine. And then in addition to that, they can teach all sorts of other things or use whatever tools they choose to use. So SOGI 123 is a set of tools that's endorsed by Alberta Teachers Association. And so anybody who gets certified to teach in a public school in Alberta has to have their certification from the ATA. And the ATA gives them guidance with regards to resources they can choose to use. So it isn't every teacher that uses SOGI 123, sexual orientation, gender identity programming. It's not every teacher that uses it, but too many of them are using it. And we have to put a stop to this.
Well, maybe the solution there is disclosure of the subjects the teacher is going to provide. And then you can choose the teacher, maybe. Because if there's like a couple teachers doing SOGI and no parents sign their kids up for that, that might be the indicator that the school needs to maybe drop that subject. Is the same thing happening? Sorry, Benita, do you want to respond to that?
Yes and no. SOGI 123 is not a subject. It is embedded inside other subjects. So SOGI 123 principles can be taught inside math, science, social studies, phys ed, health. It's embedded. And so there are certain teachers that use it. And what's interesting is that in the training that they get for SOGI 123, they're taught the little tricks of how to sneak it in. And so if there's a parent around, they're not going to include it that day. So the parents aren't around and they sneak in these little lessons to confuse children about their own gender, to get them questioning their own sexuality before the sexuality even occurred to them. And so it's just, it's very hard to discern which teachers are doing it and which ones aren't. We need more proof, and that proof, that evidence needs to be shared. So the good news is I had a meeting with the chief of staff of the education minister of Alberta in November. And I said to him, parents in Alberta are concerned about what's going on in our schools and we want to see change. And so one of the things he said was, bring me the evidence. And so we need to send the evidence to the Minister of Education in Alberta, more evidence, not just hearsay, but actual evidence of what's going on. It needs to be collected and shared.
Okay, so that's a call to action to parents for sure then.
Yes, bring that forward. And so we have testimonials technically, but a testimonial on its own is still hearsay. So if you want your testimonial to have a little more power, then do it as a sworn testimonial in front of a commissioner of oaths and then send it to the Minister of Education. That has more power than you just sharing what Junior experienced at school if you didn't personally witness it. Sworn testimonials will have more power.
Okay. Now, listen, something's wrong with these people. If they actually have to believe that they have to go around parents, be sneaky, keep an eye out for them, sneak it in. There's something wrong with the people that are actually doing that. There's something wrong with the morality. And that's just my opinion. But to me, that would be an indicator that something's wrong with them. They're miswired. Lisa, same thing with Soji in Ontario. Is it officially adopted or are they sneaking it in like Alberta?
Well, I mean, they're sneaking it in everywhere that they possibly can. That's why there's such an uproar of the parents right now. But, you know, they're not quite as subtle over here either. I mean, just about every single classroom you go into, you know, you've got the rainbow flags. You have it's everywhere. It's like rainbow flags everywhere. And if I can, I want to tell you kind of a funny story. Please if do. I will. So
when I'll bring the picture up while you're doing that.
Okay, great. So when I was running in the election, oh yeah, there's two of my fellow counselors right there at the Santa Claus parade that I didn't attend.
Right. And they're wearing the rainbow hat, at least one of them.
Yeah, the Santa Claus rainbow hat. Look at that. For children. That's nice.
Yeah. Love the nose ring and the tongue ring. Very cool.
Right? So when I was out knocking on doors, I'll try and make this kind of quick. I get a phone call. And it happens to be the principal of my son's school. And my son was at a Catholic school. Okay, so I get this call and it's, Miss Robinson, you know, your son's cold. Do you think maybe you could swing by and bring him a sweater? And I'm like, okay. Miss Michelin, I think my son went to school with a sweater. Can he not just put that on? Well, Miss Robinson, you know what? We've asked him to remove it.
Ooh.
And so you're going to need to bring him a sweater. And I'm like, why did you ask my son to remove his sweater? And it was like, well, we find it very inappropriate. I went, okay, I'm going to bite on this one. What is so inappropriate about my son's sweater? She goes, well, it has the Playboy bunny on it. I went, oh. Okay, so now my son and I, we were out at, I guess it was like West 49 or whatever, right? And so they had Playboy bunny shirts and, you know, it was $100 for this thing, but it's just I'm just going to give you a graphic. It's just the outline of the Playboy bunny. It doesn't say Playboy bunny. There was a black sweatshirt with a black outline on it. That's it. Just the picture of a bunny. So I said, okay, Miss Michelin, I said, could you please tell me what the pride flag signifies? She goes, oh, Miss Robinson, we're not getting into this conversation. I said, well, you know what? If you're not going to tell me, I'm going to tell you. The pride flag has nothing to do other than one sexuality on a spectrum. And she goes, I beg to differ. And I'm like, no, I don't. I said, I just told you word for word because I Googled it. And she goes, well, Miss Robin, she goes, you know what? Just bring your son another sweater. And I said, well, I suggest that you do not discriminate against my son. If my son's cold, you give him that sweater. And she goes, well, you know, Miss Robinson, and she says this, she goes, although this has been debunked, she says, you know, those women were made to be there against their will, to dress up and to bend over. And I went, oh, okay. I said, well, Miss Michelin, I said, have you ever been to a pride event? She goes, yes. And I said, well, what do you feel about the lewd conduct of some of these adults? You know, there's grown men naked, you know, crawling around on the ground with dog collars around their neck. You know, I said, but you think it's okay to be flying a flag at a Catholic school with that kind of behavior going on? And she goes, yes, I do. And I said, well, why is that? She goes, well, those people weren't held. Those people aren't held there against their will. I went, and I said, okay, Miss Michelin, you know what? I said, you can only speak to your life experiences as to I can only speak to mine. I said, I was a first runner up in the Swimsuit Canada. I was Miss Bikini Ontario. I've been Miss Hawaiian Tropic Toronto. I said, I've been to auditions that have to do with Playboy. I said, so I can tell you all my experiences growing up, I've never seen a woman that did not want to be there against her will. So I suggest you give my son back his sweater, because that sweater is now signifying my son's sexuality and how he feels. And she goes, well, okay, Miss Robinson, we'll do that. She goes, but could you do me a favor in the future? Would you please not send your son to school with this sweater? And I said, well, Miss Michelin, I said, could you please promise me in the future that you're not going to fly the pride flag at a Catholic school? She goes, I can't promise you that. I said, well, then neither can I. So then at that point, I went with my child. We went back over to West 49, and I bought him the same sweater in four other colors. And I said to my son, I said, you could wear these anytime you want to. Nobody is going to say anything to you. And if they do, you tell them that this is your sexuality. So I went out and I spent $400 and I bought them in different colors. And then I said, and Preston, when you graduate, I said, if you want to, I said, I am willing to buy every single little girl and every single little boy in your class either a Playboy bunny sweater or a Playgirl sweater, and they can wear them to class. And there's absolutely nothing that they can do back, because you know what? I'm flipping the script. You know what? If you can do it, my son is also able to do it. And so that was the end of that.
Yes. Yes. This is what all parents should be doing. You don't have to be a counselor to do this. This is what all parents should be doing. And I'm not sure, Lisa, if you heard about what happened in Saskatchewan. There was a group of high school students who put up during the Pride Month or Pride Season or whatever it's called now, they put up a straight pride petition or sign. And if you identified, because everybody else was identifying, if you identified as straight and proud, you could sign that. What ended up happening was all the students that signed that, there was a dozen or so, got pulled into the principal's office. The RCMP showed up, told the children how what they were doing was a hate crime, and warned them that if they do it again, they'll be leaving in cuffs. That was a response for straight pride. So doing the exact same thing, which is identifying their sexuality, and in this case, they were straight pride, got them threatened by the local police. And these are high school students. So children, by your definition from the video, children. So yeah. Children were threatened by the police via the principal's office in Saskatchewan. I believe it was Swift Current. How does it make you feel, Benita? That's right beside us here in Saskatchewan. And that could be making its way here too. I think you got muted. We may have lost your audio. Oh, we may have lost our audio. CSIS is all over this one. You can keep trying. Maybe just try and reconnect your USB. We kind of lost it there. But she was loving that story because absolutely, I think this is how all parents feel. We want to stand up for our children for sure. But boy, did you ever make a statement by saying, hey, look, this is representing intersexuality. And what's the problem? If it was six colors put in a particular order, you'd have no problem with it. But because it's an outline of a woman. Now, here's the thing. She kind of made
the outline of a woman. It was the outline of a bunny.
Sure, it represents sexuality. Yeah. But one of her arguments was kind of okay in that those performers are there not against their will. However, residents are against their will. They have to live there. They have to watch this. If they want to go to the shop, the grocery store, they'll have to walk past that. So you're not getting consent from the actual public either. So I guess the counter argument to her is maybe everybody should have consent on this, not just an individual, but everybody. So if you're going to display your body in any way, shape, or form, at least your audience should be consenting to it as well. It's not good enough that a person or a pervert, let's maybe call it what it is, a pervert wants to crawl around on the street with a dog collar waving his butt in the air for people to see. That's not our standard. Our standard should be informed consent for everybody. Everybody's consensual. And this is why we have adult entertainment establishments. So that exactly can happen. That exact same thing can happen. You know, when you're going to an adult entertainment establishment, you're going to go see adult entertainment. And if you're working there, you know you're providing it. Therefore, everybody's consensual on it. So no big deal. But when you take it into the public, when you're not getting people's consent, you're basically forcing upon them your sexuality. That's where it all falls apart for me. And I think that was the reason for your emotion. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you know what? I actually went to the head of the library here in Pickering as well. And, you know, I started having a conversation with her and I said, well, you know, and I told her about, well, if they're going to be reading the books, can they not go back to, like, you know, just reading the traditional books, like, you know, Jack and Jill went up the hill, you know, something that
not is Jack not, and Jack.
Yeah. Not, you know, pushing them into, like, you know, behaving a certain way, or, like, you know, about cross-dressing, or, you know, it's fun to pretend that, you know, you're a boy named Sue kind of type thing. And she said, well, you know what, I could bring that to their attention the next time that they are going to have the drag queen story time. And I said, well, or, you know, what about this? I said, what about strippers? I said, why aren't strippers allowed to read to the children? Like, you know, why don't we extend it to them and have them read as well? And she's like, oh, no, we can't do that. I'm like, well, why not? She goes, well, they're strippers. And I said, well, I said, really? I said, what is the difference? I said, they're women. I said, you know, you have these performers that are dressing up as women, but they're not really dressing up as women. They're making a mockery of women. You know, they all got big boobs out to here, you know, the high hair, the makeup. I mean, they don't look like a natural woman would. I said, so if you take a stripper, but, you know, you put them in the same kind of performing clothes that a drag queen is wearing, I said, then what is the difference if they're reading the books to the children? She goes, no, we can't have strippers. I'm like, well, really, what is the difference? I mean, you're talking about, you know, your inclusive diversity, everything else that, you know, you guys are always talking about, but you're doing just the opposite. And then they'll say, well, that would be discrimination, you know, if we don't allow these drag queens to participate. And I said, well, then if you're not going to allow the strippers, I said, are you not then discriminating against strippers? It's like, so, you know, you can always counter their argument with logical thinking, but they just don't seem to get it at sometimes, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't accept a story time hour with an alcoholic or a chain smoker or somebody else doing adult activities inside of the school. I think they would kick him out as soon as, you know, cigarette came out. And maybe the solution for the strippers is to identify as a drag queen. Maybe they're a stripper, but they identify as a drag queen. Therefore, the performance should be able to go forward. Benita, let's go ahead and try your audio again.
How's that? Can you hear me? I got a comment about homeschooling.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we can hear you. You're a little bit quiet, but I got to stop talking because I can hear myself.
Okay, so more and more people are now homeschooling because they don't trust the public school system. And I'm actually now facilitating sessions for groups of homeschooled kids. So right now we're doing the topic of effective communication. So I'm teaching these young people how to stand up for themselves and how to give a great speech. And it's coming along beautifully. So I'm doing this in addition to the online sessions I host, conservatizing municipal councils and school boards. So if people want to learn more, please reach out to me. My number is on the screen.
That is a wonderful idea. So let's teach children, parents, and others how to speak, how to talk, how to respond to these questions. Oh, what about the grapes of wrath? Two wrongs don't make a right. Like, have responses to these and actually be prepared for that. I think that's a great idea. What do you think about that, Lisa?
I think that's a fabulous idea. I mean, we need the youth to start standing up. And I mean, they're very, very afraid. I mean, look at what's happened to Josh Alexander. I'm sure you all know who Josh Alexander is, you know, in the universities. And, you know, anytime a boy or somebody does start sticking up for their teammates or classmates, you know, they get into a lot of trouble. You know, I mean, this just happened to my son just a few short weeks ago on the rugby team. My son's first year high school. He has a girlfriend now. She's also on the rugby team. And, you know, they were out at a rugby game and not on his girlfriend's team, but on another of the female teams that they were playing against. There was a man.
No.
There was a 16-year-old boy, but this 16-year-old boy was like over 6 feet tall. Now, if you remember what you were like in grade 9, the girls are like 90 pounds. They're like, you know, these cute little petite little girls, right? And they're playing rugby where, you know, the only protection that you have is a mouth guard.
The mouth guard.
You have nothing else. So now you have, you know, this 6 foot guy, you know, playing on a team against them. That is not cool. So this guy was also in the girls' change room, apparently. And so a bunch of girls came over to my son and to his friend and said, you know what, there is a guy in our change room. Can you guys do something about it? And so the two boys, they decided to go over there and find out, and they see the person. And then they asked the group of girls that was on that guy's team and said, could you tell us what his pronouns are? Right. And of course, the one girl said to my son's friend, ask us again. And like, you know, we're going to hit you in the head. It was like, oh. So my son and his buddy reported that to the coach, which, of course, nothing happened, right? Because it's a girl saying this to the guy. But then, you know, after school, I didn't know any of this. And I pick up my son and his girlfriend. I'm driving them home from school. And all of a sudden, I get a call, and it's a school. And I'm like, hello? And they're like, yes, you know, Miss Robinson, you know, I want to have a conversation with you about what happened with your son today. I'm like, okay. I'll have this conversation. And he goes, well, you know, he asked somebody what their pronouns were. And I'm like, okay, so what's wrong with that? Well, you know, this person felt very, very threatened. And, you know, I think it was very, very harmful of your son to do that. Harmful. How is that harmful for my son? Well, you know what? The other person felt threatened. And I'm like, so are you trying to say that my son threatened somebody because they asked him what their pronouns were? Because that's what it sounds like to me. And they were like, yes, presumably. And I'm like, presumably that's what happened. So it didn't even happen. You're just thinking that that's how the other person feels. So I ended up going in the office in the morning, and I asked the tough questions, which I couldn't get answers to. I was like, for one, I said, have you sent out any notices at all to any of the girls on any of the girls' parents, and let them know that there would be a biological male playing against them in a rugby game that day? Oh, well, I don't know the answer to that. Okay, well, if you could please get back to me with that. Like, you know, I'd really like to know, because, you know, I think that parents need to be involved. And I think that, you know, the little girls or girls, so I don't mean to call them little all the time, but to me, they're little. But I think that the girls should be able to say, or the parents should have a say on whether or not their daughter is going to be playing in a dangerous sport against a biological male. Of course, you know, I get the call the next day, and no, they will not send out any notices to any of the girls' parents. And I said, well, why not? And he said, well, it's a privacy issue.
No.
So it's a safety issue. Not to let the girls know or the parents know that there's going to be a biological male playing against them in a dangerous sport. We weren't asking for the person's name or anything else, but I think all girls and parents should have a right to know if, you know, there's going to be harm that could happen to them. I mean, they could have harm happening to them anyways from another girl, but know that there's a biological male who we all know men are stronger than women for the most part. And yeah, they refuse to give that information out to the parents on a privacy issue.
Okay, I'm upset about that one, because what they're waiting for and what it's going to take is actual harm to somebody. Like severe harm, where we say, okay, enough, that's the limit, there's a limit there. A lot of parents were able to say to themselves, oh, they're swimming together, no big deal. Okay, they're racing each other, no big deal. Then it went into combat, like mixed martial arts and rugby. I was a rugby player. It's a very violent sport, and you're not wrong. The women only have mouth guards and straps. That's it. So I think it should be mandatory that the other parents of the other teams, at least, know that their daughters are going to be entering the field with a male. I'm mad about that one because, and here's why I'm mad, not because I'm a phobic in any way, shape, or form. It's because I know that the limit's going to be someone has to get harmed, like severely harmed. A girl has to be injured, maybe paralyzed. Something like that will have to happen before enough people stand up on this one. That is so wrong.
It is. It is very, very wrong. And I mean, that goes the same with, like, you know, our Chestnut Hill Recreation Center. You know, they're allowing these young people to be in the universal change room, and, you know, they won't change the policy as much as I'm asking them to, and other parents in the community are asking them to. And they keep on saying, well, nothing serious has happened yet. You know, there's been no report. So really is what they're saying, just like what you just said, something has to happen to someone. Some harm has to come to an innocent person in order for change to happen. And I mean, this all just came about over COVID. Before then, you were allowed, a girl was allowed to go to an all-girl bathroom. A male was allowed to go to an all-male bathroom, right? And then you would have the choice to go to the family or the universal room if you wanted to. But all of a sudden, now, if you're under the age of 18 or if you're not a member, you're being forced to use what could be an unsafe place, you know, where you're feeling most vulnerable. And it's sad that harm has to come to someone in order to make change. I mean, even the provincial government.
We'll get right there, buddy.
Yeah, even the provincial government. I mean, if you were watching the news, they said, you know, every woman has the right to have their own bathroom on a job site. Again, you know, so why is it that only women after a certain age, for the most part, are being protected and not our children? You know, it's very, very sad. At City Hall, I can tell you, I have my own female bathroom. I'm not sharing it with a male. I mean, I couldn't see myself trying to go to the washroom next to the mayor, you know, after lunch or something. That's not going to happen. And even in the new facilities that we're building right now, whether it's the new fire halls, they have women's bathrooms, they have men's washrooms, and then they have a third washroom. So why is that so hard to comprehend and go back to giving the choice to people on where they feel safe in the most vulnerable spaces?
Okay. And then Benita, you had a comment?
I disagree that somebody has to get hurt in order for us to see change. What we need is a Canadian Riley Gaines. Let's find a Canadian Riley Gaines, and whoever that person is, let's elevate them and make them famous across the nation, okay? Let's get a girl strong and ready to stand up. And so there's probably some mothers even out there right now who have a daughter in sports. Mothers, give your daughters a little more encouragement so they will stand up, because we need a Canadian Riley Gaines. Because when I read today about Leah Thomas, and by the sounds of it, the medal that biological male Leah Thomas won in swimming is now, that medal, by the sounds of it, is going to the biological female Riley Gaines. The medal has to be surrendered. That's a victory, and we can have that here in Canada, but we need more of these young girls standing up and speaking out and demanding safe spaces for women on the sports fields.
Okay, I agree with you completely, and if we don't get that, then it will be an injury to somebody that will get people mad. We need to get there before. I agree with you. We shouldn't have to get to a situation where someone's hurt. I agree with you. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, because why don't you let everybody know about Riley a little bit more? It's an American swimmer, I believe. She stood up. She took a lot of slack.
Riley, years and years for swimming, and she knew all the elite swimmers in her age group. And suddenly she goes to this swim tournament, and for some reason this Leah Thomas takes the win. She'd never heard of Leah Thomas. Leah Thomas is a biological male who previously had been swimming in men's and then switches over and he's swimming in women's. And so Riley went national with her messaging about how biological men do not belong in women's sports. It's not right. It's not fair. And in these contact sports, it's not safe. This is a safety issue. So Riley Gaines has done great in the States, but we need something similar now in Canada. So I'm hoping more people will look that up, look up that story, look at the victories. because Riley spoke out so aggressively, by the sounds of it, Leah Thomas has to return the medal. So it's another victory, and we need that in Canada. So let's get inspired by Riley Gaines.
Oh, I love that. That's a great way to put it. I like that a lot. But she also went through a lot of heartache. Like, she got threats. She was being chased. She got so much security. Like, she was trying to leave a building at one point, and she couldn't get out because they were trying to get her. But that's better than being hurt on the field. Okay, so I would love to see this happen as well. Lisa, you want to make a comment on this? And then we're going to kind of get to wrapping up.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And I mean, it is happening everywhere right now. It's happening in a lot of different women's sports and events. I mean, we now have females who are, you know, karate masters going into events, and they're saying, nope, you know what? I'm going to give up my medal because I'm not going to participate. You have chess players who are also doing the same. You have the swimmers. You're also starting to get the weightlifters. So, I mean, this is starting to go global, and like, women are starting to speak up and say, no, you know what? Enough is enough. I compete against women only. I'm not going to compete against a biological male, because we can't really compete against males. The odd women can, but for the majority of us, we cannot. We're not built the same. We have different chromosomes, you know, our makeup is completely different, you know, and I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, I know a man is stronger than me, you know, I'll compete against any woman, but yes, I know my limits and I'm going to play within them, let's say. But, you know, for our younger ones, like, you know, the ones that are in school, you know, in grade 9, like, you know, the girls that I'm talking about on this team, you know, if they say, no, I'm not going to play, you know, the coach, who do they take it out on? They take it out on the child, which is horrible. You know what? If you're not going to play, we're going to punish you. Just like my son, for, you know, asking somebody's pronouns and wanting to stick up for the girls, him and his friend, he got punished. They took him out of the game the next day. He wasn't allowed to play in the game. And he said, why am I not playing, coach? He's one of the better players on the team. Well, you know, you have to think about what you did yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's always going to be a repercussion. And so, like, you know, some of these girls, like, you know, they don't want to say, no, I'm going to give up. I'm going to keep on playing because I want to swim, let's say, right? And so, you know, this little tennis match goes on in their head. And that's where all this mental health is happening, you know, because they don't know what to do. If they don't go ahead, then, you know what? They pretty much hate themselves for not going ahead. If they do go ahead, they're miserable going ahead. And then they end up saying, well, why did I do it? Because I was going to lose anyways. So is playing a real, this is where a lot of the mental health is happening right now around the children, around the females, and around males as well. But more so, like, you know, the little girls out there, and we need to start protecting them a little bit more. So I'm very, very impressed that women and girls are starting to stand up around the world. And yeah, we can win this. I think, you know, I don't know where all the feminists went, but, like, you know, I sure wish they would come back and join our fight, because, you know, we are women. I mean, our bodies do things that no man could ever do. And I mean, they can't take that away from us. And we have to stick together on that one.
100%. And that's one of the things I'd like to see more of, because what annoys me is seeing a beauty pageant picture with this male in the middle who won and then smiles on all the other faces. I'd like to see nobody there. I'd like to see nobody standing on second, third. I'd like to see people walk away from the field and not go. I think that would be the message eventually. And it shouldn't be one or two people picked on. I think everybody should go. One of the things we learned about for the American female soccer team was, for a while there, it looked like the entire soccer team was for this kind of movement. They were all kneeling and doing that thing, except for a couple of them. Then we found out later that it was really one or two bullies on the entire team, which caused everybody else to kind of just take a knee and just follow along, so they weren't being bullied anymore. It really only took a couple to change the entire U.S. women's soccer team. Now, we've heard the stories about how much of a bully they were. Why did the rest of them do that? Like, maybe some of the encouragement and support should be on females to stand up and walk away and not participate. Don't stand in that photo and smile at the beauty pageant that you lost to this male from. Don't stand on the second place and third place podium. Go and have your own ceremony to the side with the true 1, 2, and 3. Those kind of things, or not even show up at all. It's going to be a very empty pool with Leah Thomas or whatever the name is, just that person swimming. That would be a very lonely pool. Benita, let's go to you, and I think we're going to put up a bit of a message here for you as well.
Yes, I just want to share that the way to make the changes is to get the policies changed by the policymakers. So that means we need to effectively influence policymakers, or we need to replace them. And both strategies for both of those are taught at the conservatizing municipal councils and school boards events that are being held once a month. And we welcome people from across Canada attending these events. So they occur at 8 p.m. Alberta time, but we at our past event, we had guests from BC and Ontario and actually even New Zealand, because they're interested in these principles for how do you influence policymakers so they make better decisions? And of course, how do we replace those policymakers? So I hope you'll join us, because what's shared at these events, although it's focused on municipal councils and school boards, some of the principles shared could also be applied to library boards, parent council meetings, and even provincially and federally. So I hope you'll sign up on that Cognito form and be a part of it. Now, if you can't actually attend the next meeting, December 27th, sign up on the form anyway, and you'll be sent the meeting resources. So sign up even if you can't personally attend.
Oh, Benita, you're amazing. Lisa, how awesome is she? Let me just get that mute. How awesome is she?
I'm thinking of her as my next campaign manager when I decide to go for a higher position in politics.
Hey, I'll join that team too. Let's make you an MP, then a PM. Let's get you up there so we can make some real change. Absolutely. And I also have a Give, Send, Go ready for you, something to bring up. So maybe you want to comment on why you need one of these.
Yes, thank you. The supporting Lisa Robinson at Give, Send, Go. Yeah, the because you know I am sanctioned for 90 days without pay. It is about to be lifted. I mean, I think in the new year I start getting paid again. But as you can see, since I've just brought my 3 motions forward again, and I've been, you know, talking out quite a bit, I'm sure I'm going to be sanctioned again over and over and over again. So I could really use some help with the legal bills. It's the, you know, I'm getting a lot of support right now for, you know, my living expenses. People have been taking care of me because honestly, you know, I am a single mother with a child. And, you know, they sanctioned me basically 3 days before my mortgage was due. And I mean, I can tell you right now in these days and age, I don't think there's too many people that, you know, can afford to even go without one paycheck, let alone 3 months. But, you know, I've had great support. I've had people stepping up. My mortgage has been taken care of. You know, I have food on the table for my child, which is great. So I'm almost through this, and I am just, you know, I'm blessed. I can't say how blessed I am for how many people have stepped up to help me out to make sure that my son and I have been provided for and that we still have a roof over our head. Because honestly, you know, when you think about it, you think people who are on my council, my coworkers, they actually voted to have me sanctioned for the 90 days. And, you know, it was all planned, obviously. You know, I do have my real estate lessons, but since COVID hit and I got my paralegal degree when I graduated with honors, I worked for free for everybody throughout the pandemic. Anyone that had lost their job, anybody that, you know, needed an LOL signed or anything, you know, I spoke at Queen's Park and I said I would offer my services for free because I knew that God had put me in that position. And I went through that path and I just graduated at the ultimate time to help people. And I feel that, like, you know, when you give yourself to people and you help the people, it does come back to you. And I mean, like I said, I am so blessed that it is coming back to me, because what my council members have done to me, I wouldn't even do to an enemy. I would never, ever vote to take somebody's livelihood away from them where they couldn't provide to keep the house over their head, or, you know, put food on the table for their families. So that's all I have to say about who I work with. And those are not leaders to me. And I'm sorry about my dog, Rosebud.
No, it's okay. You've got a voice too. Got a voice too. So I'm going to be putting I'm going to be putting $100 on your Gifts and Go, but promise me you'll buy one more Playboy sweater with that $100.
Well, you know what the funny thing is about that, actually, is that West 49 doesn't sell them anymore. So now I got to go somewhere else to find it. But I promise you, I will find him another Playboy one to wear. Because, yeah, it was just a great thing. Like, my son is starting to turn into, you know, a young man. And, you know, he's standing up for the girls now. He's standing up for his friends. You know, he's becoming his own independent man. And, you know, I'm so proud of him. He's not at the point of like a Josh Alexander or anyone like that. But you know what? I can see him getting there, and I can see him, like, you know, taking this challenge on himself and, like, you know, following in his mom's footsteps, because I'm just so proud of him.
I'm proud of him too, and I haven't met him yet, but his standing up and asking for the pronouns and then taking the hit for it. And you're right, Josh Alexander, Nick Alexander, the entire Alexander family, they're doing some God's work for sure. And I'm not sure if you know this, Lisa, but his parents are losing their house because both of them lost their job over Josh's advocacy. Yeah. They are losing house. So there's a Gifts and Go for them as well. There's a lot of people that need some help. So we'll be bringing that up. We'll be having them on again soon. And I'm not sure if you know, but Nick got cut with a knife at an event not too long ago, and he got arrested.
I was at that event, actually.
Yeah, they arrested Nick.
Yes, I was actually, I had to leave to do a podcast, so I had to go sit in my car, but my mom, she was right there, and she witnessed the whole entire thing. I had actually posted a couple of pictures, I think, up on my Facebook or Twitter. It was is horrible, and I actually saw Josh at the Christine Anderson event in Ottawa. Just last week, we both spoke there, and so I got to say hello to him one more time. But it's a shame what's happening, and it's horrible. I hope that, you know, some good comes their way. I mean, it has to.
Well, it looks like that.
I believe in the universe. You know, you put it out there, it comes back to you. And, you know, I really do hope and pray that, you know, a lot of goodness comes back to Josh Alexander and to his whole entire family. And that they can get past this.
Well, we got to get a Lisa Robertson Halloween costume. So next year you can have a bunch of people in the crowd at the council meeting wearing it. Because that's the most scary thing to the entire council and the mayor is Lisa Robertson. So maybe, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. Keep up the good work. Both of you are rocking it. Benita, I'm gonna throw it to you for one more second to say goodbye to Canada. And thank you so much for being here today. It was amazing.
Yes. Thank you, Jason. Really appreciate you hosting these shows and helping to get the word out about this important material.
Yeah, and as one of our commenters mentioned, it's too bad that we have to talk about this. Too bad this is one of the subjects that we have to talk about, but it's true. And then Lisa, goodbye to you as well. You want to say goodbye to Canada?
Yes, bye everybody. But I'm sure that I'll be back on here soon to give you an update, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot more exciting things happening in politics coming up very, very soon. And I will always be sure to keep you posted. Benita, I hope I get to see you very soon. I would like to get a copy of some of the information that you have, because we do have a lot of parent groups out here who are putting up the good fight. So, I mean, anything that you can help with, any of your literature that you have, you know what, we can spread the word down here and spread it throughout Ottawa and through Toronto and, like, you know, Durham region. That's what we need to do. We all need to stick together, help each other, and anything that we can, you know, take little bits and pieces from and, like, you know, mold it into our own, or we don't even have to reinvent the wheel. We can all just help each other. And I think that's a great that you're doing, and I really appreciate hearing about. I can't wait to hear how the vote goes, so keep fighting with that. And Jason, again, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really enjoy being here, and, you know, gosh, I love you and you and Pam. You guys are awesome. So Paul is amazing, really.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, we like her. We're going to keep her. And who knows? We may have another counselor on soon. Hey, Benita? Benita? I don't know. When you have an announcement, you want to let Westlock know maybe who they can vote for? Come on and let us know.
Well, Well, Westlock has a by-election on January 10th, and yes, I am considering putting my name on the ballot. I'm just chatting with some people this week about who else might run, about building a campaign team, etc. So January 10th is the big day. We get to replace our mayor and a councillor. And then February 22nd, we have a plebiscite on the topic of neutrality, which means we're going to get rid of our rainbow crosswalk and stop any pride flags from ever flying on the municipal flagpole.
Thank you very much. God bless you. That's amazing. I love you both. You're both amazing people and an inspiration to so many. I'm so happy with this episode. Thank you both so much. You take care, and we will be talking to both of you soon.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, Lisa, what are your pronouns?
Excuse me. I'm sorry, what was that?
I won't be playing tomorrow. I'm going to be benched now for asking for pronouns.
Right? That's exactly it. You will be. Isn't that? That's a horrible thing. Oh my goodness, you can't leave me on the show like that. You have to take it back. You have to do something. I will literally have nightmares tonight.
What's your age or what's your pronoun? Those are the two questions you can't ask anymore, I guess, right?
Right?
No, I know. Yeah, you're an amazing woman. Thank you very much, Lisa. Thank you take care. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, we'll talk
Bye.
Soon.
Bye.
Take care, guys.
Bye, Benita.